Next time you're in Newport, take a look around. It's a successful little town. Actually, it's a pretty big town. It's nothing compared to what it could have been if the grand plans of T. Edgington Hogg had actually come to fruition. Hogg's dream was that Newport would become the deep water port town of the West Coast, at least the northern part of it. Might have actually happened, too, if Hogg had gotten his way. Only a couple of very suspiciously timed accidents seemed to stand between him and the world conquest of which he dreamed. My name is Finn J.D. John. Today I'm reading you something from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, which is called Offbeat Oregon History. If you'd like a little bit more information about this little podcast or about Offbeat Oregon history, stay tuned, or you can check out the online archives at offbeatoregon.com. This particular column ran on May 31st, 2009. Here we go. If you've ever dared take your eyes off the road while going over Saniam Pass toward Bend, you may have seen it. Rock cribbing supporting a railroad grade going up the side of a geographical feature called Hog Rock. Not Hog Butte, not Hog Hill, not Hog gently sloping railroad-friendly mountainside. Hog Rock, and a rock it is. Not something you'd think a railroad man in his right mind would want to run a track across. But Colonel T. Edgington Hogg, the man who arranged it, was not exactly in his right mind. In fact, he built the track in a desperate gamble to save himself from financial ruin. He lost, by the way. Here's the story. In the 1870s and 1880s, Hogg was in the railroad business. Starting out small, he incorporated the Corvallis and Yaquina Bay Railroad Company in 1872. The connection through the Coast Range was completed in 1884. That connected Yaquina Bay, and by extension Newport, with the valley at its midpoint. At Yaquina Bay, he ran a steamer, the Yaquina City, which took passengers to other ports from there. But Hogg didn't plan on staying small. He envisioned a huge project, a railroad line that would go from Chicago through Corvallis and out to the ocean at Newport, which he saw as a more logical trading spot than Portland because it wouldn't require crossing the Columbia River Bar and going miles upriver. Portland swells, as you can imagine, were not pleased by this idea, not least because it made sense, at least on paper. Hogg's route would cut 300 miles off the Chicago to San Francisco run, which was then done by rail and by sea. You have to understand, in 1884, America was starting to change from moving stuff by steamboats and steamships to moving stuff by rail. Rail was just coming out of its shell as a more efficient and fast way to move freight. Portland's location made lots of sense from a waterway standpoint, but if you wanted to move things by rail, that was something else again. And the long and meandering detour up and over past Astoria and around and down the coast and across the dangerous Columbia River Bar, that was costly. But for the venture to work, Hogg had to get a track laid across the Cascades so that it would connect to a terminus at Boise. If that didn't happen, the government wouldn't give him the enormous land grants, the sale of which was to finance much of the action. Everything was going nicely until the steamship Hogg had running the Newport terminus, the SS Yaquina City, suddenly suffered rudder failure. A cable snapped. The ship was washed aground at the mouth of the bay. Everyone got off safely, but the waves broke the ship apart. Total loss. Hogg was suddenly deprived of his income. You see, even without the traffic to Chicago that he dreamed of, the steamship and Hogg's railroad offered the fastest service to San Francisco from the mid and south Willamette Valley. Hogg scrambled to replace it with the insurance money. But meanwhile, without the steamer's income, Hogg didn't have the money to finish his rail line to the Cascades summit. In desperation, Hogg dropped work on his rail line and had his workers go straight to the summit of the pass and build a track over it. Once this was done, Hogg had a boxcar disassembled and packed into boxes, which were lugged up the pass by mules. On site, the boxcar was reassembled and the mules pulled it over the pass along the tracks a couple of times. The letter of the law having thus been met, Hogg happily announced to the government that he'd fulfilled his end of the deal. A railroad line was running across the Cascades. He got no pushback from Washington, and everything looked okay. Then disaster struck. Again. While his new ship, the SS Yaquina Bay, was being towed into the harbor by a tugboat, the cable snapped, and the Yaquina Bay was washed onto the shore to lay its bones beside those of its sister ship, the Yaquina City. Two cable failures, in the exact same spot, within a few months of each other, destroying the same man's ships. What were the odds? Few at the time thought it was a coincidence. It's almost certain the Portland companies threatened by Hogg's Newport scheme had some hand in the double accident. But there's a big difference between almost certain and proven in court. Hogg had no proof. In any case, if it was sabotage, it worked. This time, the loss was not insured. Within months, Hogg's business was in receivership. Shortly thereafter, he left the state, a ruined man. But today, more than 100 years later, his railroad grade to nowhere is still there. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like more, there are hundreds of columns going back to 2008 on our website at offbeatoregon.com. You can also subscribe to receive these podcasts or their written equivalents and have them delivered directly to your smartphone via RSS or iTunes. If you're interested in history geekery, be sure and check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. You can find them with a simple search. All my stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. That means if you want to broadcast anything on your radio show, reprint anything in your blog or book project, or use any Offbeat Oregon, anything in any way, commercial or not, go for it. Some restrictions apply. Google Creative Commons 3.0 for details. If you're ever up in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee at the Beanery or some other historic Oregon watering hole, drop me a line. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @OffbeatOregon. Thanks again for listening, and have a wonderful day.